And of course, in the studio, I'm joined by Stephen Goulson, who is billed as an RMIT film expert. Do you hold that as a truism?
I like that. I think I'm going to get a few T-shirts printed up with the film expert. I've been called a lot worse, so I'll take film expert. Thanks, Eddie.
Yeah. Well, we're here because you've got this, you've curated a pretty remarkable event that's happening at the Capitol on this Sunday, the 26th at 1 p.m. And it's for the term of his natural life, the first or the most expensive silent film ever made in Australia.
Yeah, correct. And this is like the world premiere of the 4K restoration that's just been done by the National Film and Sound Archive. And it'll probably be the only cinema screening in Australia of this. The archive did do a screening earlier in the year, but that was actually the 2K version, not the 4K. So, yeah, we're very privileged to have it. Also, at the Capitol, which is such an appropriate venue.
Oh, that's exactly right.
Yeah, because that opened in 1924, and this film was released in 1927. So this film absolutely did play at the Capitol, which I'll be discussing in my intro on Sunday. So it's a great venue to really recreate that 1920s sort of atmosphere.
It takes us back to a period of Australian filmmaking that people may be unaware of. Do you want to give our listeners a little bit of an understanding of where this film came from?
Well, I mean, the 1920s Australian cinema, I mean, a lot of these films don't exist anymore, but we were actually doing really well in the 1920s after we've had a dip. So before World War One, I mean, Australian cinema was like absolutely booming, and then production really just stopped and the floodgates opened to America. But by the 1920s, we were making some pretty good films like The Painted Daughters, The Kid Stakes, which has been restored, The Pioneers, Mystery of the Hansom Cab. You know, some of these really classic Australian novels were being adapted. Like, it was actually a really important period for Australian adaptations. And we were sort of getting bigger and bigger. And what they wanted was an Australian film that could really explode internationally. So in Australia and also in American and England markets.
And you know, it's really funny because, like all the picking of the winners that they've done in more recent history, it failed internationally but was a massive hit here.
Yes. Like The Dressmaker, you know, or other films like that where they do really well locally, but they just don't work internationally. Now, it had a few things against it when it went to America. Because The Jazz Singer had just opened.
Yeah, talkies.
Talkies, which was part talkie, part silent. But audiences, certainly in America, were really interested in the whole idea of a film that talks to them. So this whole, the thinking of a colonial, historical Australian film about convicts, which was silent, it just did not really bring any interest to the American market. So it just didn't work at all, and it's never got its money back. But it is a very good film.
It didn't do too badly, though. It was, what is it? It says that it made about £50,000. Oh, £40,000, but it cost them £50,000, which must have been a huge amount of money.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they were expecting to be a big hit in America. Like, they were expecting it to be one of the top 10 films of the year.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So they had big.
And interestingly enough, because there is no voice, there is no accent. So therefore, silent movies were international in their conception, really, weren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And, well, the thing about this film is, I mean, it always comes to the question, what is an Australian film? Now, the director, Norman Dorn, was an American.
Yeah.
So Raymond Longford, excellent Australian director. He was initially going to direct this, and then they sacked him, feeling like an American director would actually allow them to get more interest from the American market. The actors were George Fisher and Eva Novak, both also from America. So the feeling was, let's get big international players into this film, and that will allow the international market to really come on board. But it just didn't happen. And Raymond Longford became very, very bitter about being dumped from this film. And he told each and every person who ever asked. He was all over the press. When the film came out, he really started his
own... What a bastard.
Yeah. He did a bit of a, you know, a Kevin
Rudd.
He
gave them a kicking.
Yeah, a bit of a Kevin Rudd where he's just sort of going out, just trying to undermine the current crop. However, that being said, I think this film is quite remarkable. And people might come along thinking, okay, so it's a black and white film. They actually use tints on the lens. So, like, there's a ship burning scene and they, you know, put a red lens on that. There's a sunrise scene, you know, it's sort of like a yellow lens. So it is coloured in to a degree. So it's shot on black and white, but it's actually filtered through these coloured lenses.
I was reading a thing about the director who actually had a court case against certain other film houses for a technique that he used. Mm-hmm. So he was obviously a bit of a gun when it came to experimenting.
Oh, yeah. Norman Dorn was very technically advanced.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So the criticism against him is, well, could he really direct actors? You know, he was more of a technician.
He was one
of those director technicians, more than someone who was really good with actors. However, I think the performances here are actually pretty strong.
Yeah, it's funny because I was doing a little bit of research. There's a whole lot of really fascinating things about this film. Mm. And quite besides, I mean, great to go and see it because, as you said, it's not going to be getting many outings. Mm. But and as one of the end of the silent movie phase in the Australian context and in the world context.
Yep.
It is a fantastic thing to be looking at. But in a whole lot of other ways, it's interesting as well. I mean, one of the small interesting nuggets is that George Fisher, who's in it, was the first person to play Jesus on film.
yeah, absolutely. And also, I should say, Annie, that at this screening, we're very lucky to have Graham Shirley introducing the film. And Graham Shirley has a long history with this film because he actually restored the 1981 version, which ended up opening at the Sydney Film Festival because David Stratton, who was the director of the Sydney Film Festival at that time, he really knew the significance of this film. So he had it launch the festival that year. And Graham Shirley, he got a whole range of different prints of the film because a lot of them were destroyed.
Yeah.
And he sort of put them all together. And so the film that we have today is because of the work that Graham Shirley did. Graham Shirley, he worked at the National Film and Sound Archive as an archivist and a historian for many, many years. And his story of, you know, his involvement in the film was fascinating. So it's we're really honoured to actually have him at the screening to introduce the film.
And as I said, there's quite a few other elements of this film that's important and is sort of revealing about the present day. I mean, the fact that they chose for the terms of his natural life, which is it was a blockbuster in its own day, mm. Marcus Clarke. I have to admit, I've actually read the book. I'm not sure lots of people could say that, but that's a key a novel within the framework of colonial Australia. But of course, white Australia projected to the outside world. Mm. It didn't actually, it had very shallow roots in the country that we're in at the moment. And interestingly enough, the film itself, the director wasn't happy with the natural environment down in Tasmania, which is a bizarre concept. So he shot key scenes in other places.
Yeah, correct. I mean, he did shoot at Port Arthur. So, and that I think that's really interesting to actually see Port Arthur in 1927. But also, the Tasmanian state government, they didn't want them there.
No.
Because they didn't like the idea of Tasmania being represented as this convict state, being called Van Diemen's Land. They were really trying to move away from that. And like today, Tasmania was all about tourism and making themselves look as appealing as they possibly could. So the idea that Tasmania is just run ragged with convicts really went against what they were actually trying to do with their own publicity of the state. So they were actually really against this film, which is, I think, you know, fascinating in and of itself.
Yeah, because it's really a long, the same story just done in a different way in the Australian consciousness, isn't it?
Yeah, well, remember Nitram just a couple of years ago.
Yeah, fantastic film.
Yeah, really strong film. But again, Tasmania were really against that idea of, you know, that film, you know, again, Port Arthur and, you know, horrors that have happened there. And they really didn't want people being reminded of that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Actually, if you haven't seen Nitram, a horror film without blood.
Yeah.
Absolute suspense.
Yeah, and the last 3 minutes of that film is just horrific.
I know.
Just setting up what is about to happen.
I know.
Yeah.
It's the most clever film, very clever film.
And could I say, Annie, at this screening, we've also got the...
Oh, yeah, you've got other things.
The Capitol Orchestra, right, who are professional jazz musicians who all form together to make what we call the Capitol Orchestra. And they're going to be in performance before the screening, and they're going to be playing a whole range of jazz hits from the 1920s just to sort of set the scene. Because what we're really trying to do, it is a matinee screening, and we're trying to sort of recreate the matinee performance where, you know, historically you'd see a couple of films and you'd have a musical, a live musical performance, and then you'd play the feature film. So it's going to be really exciting. It's only $20 and, probably the only screening of the 4K in the country. And I'm assuming most of the listeners haven't even seen For the Temu's Natural Life. So here's a great opportunity to see one of Australia's most significant silent films ever.
Yeah, exactly. The other thing is you've curated a collection of other shorts from the same period.
Yeah. So a whole range of things that we're going to be trying to put on. And this will just be one screening. We're going to try and do more silent screenings into next year as well, because it's very rare that we have an opportunity to see silent films on the big screen.
Because in a way it's made out as if they're irrelevant, but the techniques that were involved in that period are absolutely the basis of later filmmaking, aren't they?
Yeah, that's right. And all of the great film directors, you know, like your John Fords and your Alfred Hitchcocks, they all started in the silent period, and that's where they learnt the cinema language. And I think there's so much that you can learn about filmmakers from, you know, the silent period, so much about filmmaking from the silent period. And like you were saying earlier, Annie, it's a universal language, because you don't need the differences in language, and it's just kind of stripped away.
Oh, like, just looking at the careers of the actors or the filmmakers, they made, like, one of them, the lead, George Fisher, he was only during the silent films. As soon as it started to the talks, he no longer had a career.
Yeah.
He'd already made 80 films.
Yeah.
So imagine how many films they were making in a year. Yeah. Amazing stuff.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, you can watch a film from Indonesia or Japan, and it doesn't actually matter, because what you're seeing is that nationality, and it's not language isn't the barrier that's getting in the way. So it's an amazing medium, the silent cinema, and it's sad that people have fewer opportunities now to see silent films on the big screen.
Well, just to recap, it's on Saturday. It's on Sunday, the 26th.
Yep,
1 p.m.
1 p.m. at the Capitol, which is just opposite the town hall in the city. Capitol Orchestra at the start. They're going to play a really fun performance. Then Graham Shelley's going to introduce the film very briefly. And then we're going to play For the Temu's Natural Life at the Capitol. It's going to be great.
Thanks, Stephen. And just to tell people that Stephen Gulsom from RMIT, film expert, has now started an Oz Film Files podcast. So look for that as well.
Yep. Thank you, Annie.
Thank you for coming in.